MacCast, Wednesday, April 6th, 2005. The MacCast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If you're looking for a podcast related to technology, you'll find it at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, Mac Geeks, it's time for the MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Alright, so I just got back from my user group meeting, and it was pretty fun. It's always great to see all my Mac friends and just get in touch face-to-face. We do so many things virtually these days that it's nice to just get out and see people, meet everybody. I was really hoping to meet some of you there, and unfortunately, I don't know, maybe it's because I got there a little bit late. The meeting was just starting when I arrived. So if you came to the meeting and didn't get a chance to see me, I apologize for that. I was there. I did not see anybody or have anybody come up to me and mention that they were a MacCast listener. So, maybe next time. We have a meeting every month, and hopefully, you'll have a little more warning. And I know I kind of gave short notice this time. So anyway, I would like to meet some of you if you're in the San Diego area. So, maybe next month. So let's take a look and see what's happening in Mac news. There are some very interesting rumors floating around today about the possibility of the elusive video iPod, the product that Steve Jobs has claimed Apple will never make. I don't know if it's a newspaper or an online news source, the Silicon Valley Watcher Report, is reporting that Apple has entered into an agreement with a UK-based company called Alpha Mosaic, and that Alpha Mosaic produces multimedia chips. And specifically, they were purchased recently, I guess just last year, by Broadcom, which is a US chip maker, and they make a chip called the VCO2 chip. And what's really interesting about this chip is that it is really efficient at doing video and imaging, and it has some really cool specs that kind of make sense as to why Apple might be interested in this company. They have a chip that can do 30 frame per second playback with VGA quality video, and it has the ability to do image capture up to 8 megapixels on still images. And even of more interest to Apple, it seems, this chip supports new video and audio standards like H.264, which is the standard Apple is using in the next version of iChat AV. It's their big QuickTime standard. It's the next generation, I believe, of MPEG-4. And this codec allows them to scale video for everything from cell phones up to full HD quality. So definitely a chip or a technology Apple would be interested in a chip. Another thing it also has is AAC Plus, which, as we all know, Apple is a big supporter of the AAC audio format. So it's a relatively inexpensive chip in volume. I think I read online that it was about $30 per chip. So, you know, something that would be very much doable for a portable type device, maybe an iPod. You know, there's a lot of speculation that's what Apple would be interested in the chip for. I guess they could have possible other uses, but an amazing little chip and just an interesting rumor. So hopefully it's true, and hopefully we'll be seeing a video iPod soon. I know it's definitely something Apple should be thinking about, especially now with the Sony PlayStation Portable having been launched. I've been playing with one. I have a Sony PlayStation Portable. If you haven't had a chance to get your hands on one, it's a very, very cool device. Does photos, does video, does music, MP3s. I think the two downsides to it are, one, it uses for storage the Sony Memory Stick Duo, which is a very expensive flash media. It's from Sony. It's proprietary, and it's a much more expensive than the more standardized secure digital chips. 1 gigabyte Sony Memory Stick, if you can find it, will set you back about $120 US at least. So that's one downside in terms of storage, because the only other option for it is the Sony Universal Mini Disc, which is the discs that you have to buy. It's actually what the games come on and movies come on. and it's not a writable format. So the only thing you can write to are the Sony Memory Stick Duos, and they're very expensive. And I believe the largest size right now is 1 gigabyte. I'm not sure if they have the 2 gigabyte available yet. So that's definitely one downside. And the other downside would just be battery life, which I'm hearing is about 2 or 3 hours. It's a rechargeable battery that comes with it, and you should get about 2 to 3 hours of battery life, which the 2 hours is the one that concerns me, because Sony is also pushing movies on Universal Mini Disc. Mine came with a Spider-Man 2 movie, so it would really kind of stink if you were watching your favorite movie and the thing lost battery power. So 2 hours is going to be definitely cutting it close for movies. But anyway, as far as a device, though, it has a gorgeous screen. It does, you know, a lot of different things. It's great as a photo viewer, great as an MP3 player, although with the cost of the storage media, I don't really see that being a threat to the iPod. But definitely for video, you can put your own videos on there. It uses an MPEG 4 format as well, the 3GP standard. So anyway, nice device. And what amazes me about the Sony PlayStation Portable is the price point. It's $249 US, which is much cheaper than any other video player or hard disk based MP3 player or any photo viewer out there. You know, the photo viewers and movie viewers from Creative and companies like that are running $400 or $500 on iPod Photo. The cheapest one is going to set you back $349 US. So, you know, Sony's definitely got an advantage on price point. Plus, it plays games. I mean, it's a gaming device. So, in addition to doing all the games, it does the video, it does the audio, and just has 802.11b wireless networking, so you can do network gaming. And there's been all kinds of hacks out for this. Rumors are there's going to be a web browser. So, super versatile device at a really cheap price point. So, even though it's not, I don't think, a direct competitor to the iPod, the iPod still has an advantage as being the best MP3 player out there, or music player out there. Apple definitely needs to watch out for devices like this, and they need to stay on top of it. And adding video or video features to an iPod, or coming out with a similar type device to handle video and movies, maybe with cheaper storage or larger storage, is going to be something that they should be considering. Okay, is that enough ranting about the Sony PlayStation Portable? You can obviously tell it's my new little toy that I have. Us geeks really like our toys. Anyway, let's go into updates on Tiger, OS X Tiger. Everybody's wondering, the big question is, when are we going to see Tiger? When's it going to be announced? Kind of saw some sad news today, or just not sad news, but news that kind of depressed me a little bit, because we had been rumoring that we'd see a release middle of the month, probably around April 15th. Now it's looking like we're going to get the announcement about mid-month and not actually be able to go out and purchase Tiger till the end of the month. Apple did have some sort of closed satellite feed on Friday, some broadcast internally. It's unclear as to what that was all about. But a lot of sources are saying that we're going to see, like I said, a mid-month announcement of Tiger, and that the operating system will ship at the end of the month. One other interesting thing that went on is there is a convention called FOSE 2005. It's for government agencies, and it's a technology-based conference in Washington, D.C. And all of the systems there that Apple was showing, Apple is exhibiting at the show. And all those systems had OS X Tiger installed on them, and it was version 8A428, which is the one that has been rumored to be the gold master, the one that should be going out for production. So, a lot of signs pointing to Tiger coming out this month, and a lot of people saying it's going to happen. It just sounds like it's going to be later in the month now than we had expected. So, kind of some sad news, but Tiger is coming, and I'm still excited about it. Okay, some of you may or may not know, Apple is pretty huge in Japan. I think the Japanese, you know, we all know they really like their technology, and they also really appreciate good design. And so Apple is very popular in Japan, and to show that kind of, this next little story I saw, in Japan, they are getting a Apple Store, online store, that is available via cell phone. Tuesday, they launched a Apple launched a version of the Apple Store for mobile phone users in Japan. The site's available to owners of handsets sold by NTT Docomo and KDDI's AU unit, which I believe means most of Japan's cell phone customers. And there's some pictures up on the web. If you search around the various news sites, you can see some images, and basically you can order products through your cell phone if you're in Japan, Apple products through the Apple Store. So just interesting to see. I don't see that coming to the US or Europe anytime soon. I don't think, well, maybe Europe. Europeans are more attached to their cell phones than we are here in the US. So maybe that's a thing that would take off in Europe. If any listeners are in Europe, UK, European Union countries, let me know if a Apple Store on your cell phone is something you guys would be interested in, or even if you guys are ordering products through cell phones. We don't really have much of that going on in the US, I don't think. At least I haven't done it through my cell phone, or I haven't heard any of my friends doing it. But maybe that's something that's taking off in Europe. It's obviously taking off in Japan, or something that is Japanese people are interested in, because otherwise I don't think Apple would have put a Apple Store on a cell phone. So anyway, just interesting little story, and that kind of closes out the news items I have for today. All right, next up we're going to have another tip from Daryl, Daryl's Guide for New Mac Geeks number 2. Before I start off his tip, though, I want to make some comments about the last tip that Daryl put up, which I thought was absolutely great, otherwise I wouldn't have played it. But there was some feedback from some more of the power Mac geeks, the power listeners out there, and they sort of didn't want to be bothered with, I guess, new user tips. But I'm just here to say that the MacCast is for everybody. I'm trying to open it up and make it as accessible to power users as well as new users, as well as switchers, as well as PC users. We try and present a balanced view of everything and give a little bit of everything. So we're going to spend, you know, a couple minutes here on real tech geeky stuff, and we'll spend a couple of minutes here and there on helping new users along. And I think Daryl's tips are really great and help bring switchers and new users along. Daryl, being a new user, new Mac user himself, has a very good perspective, and that's why I think these spots are great. So, you know, like I said in a couple past shows, I'm going to give the time on it. So if you are a power user, just jump ahead. You know, use your MP3 player. That's what it's good for. Jump ahead and you can just skip over this tip. But I'm sure there's a lot of you out there who want to you know, learn how to become Power Mac users. So to get there, we have to have tips like this. So that said, here's Daryl's tip for New Mac Geeks number 2. It runs just 1 minute and 45 seconds. So for you power users, it's only 1:45 out of the MacCast, and I think it'll have great advantages for the rest of us. So take it away, Daryl.
It's time for Daryl's Guide for New Mac Geeks. Tips and tricks for New Mac Geeks by a New Mac Geek. Listen up. That's right, Daryl's back again with another tip for all you New Mac Geeks. Today we're going to talk about how to use bookmark bar with tab browsing to quickly open many frequently visited sites all at the same time with a single click. So let's go ahead and open Safari. At the top left of the screen, click Safari, then click Preferences, click Tabs, then check the checkbox next to Enable Tab Browsing. Once you have enabled tab browsing, it's time to create a folder of websites. So click Bookmarks, then click Add Bookmark Folder. Here you will title your folder, and once you have your sites in your folder, simply drag the folder to the bookmark bar. Now that the folder is in the bookmark bar, simply click on the folder. When you click the folder, it will show a list of websites. At the bottom of the list, it will have an option that says Open in Tabs. When you click Open in Tabs, it will open all the sites in the folder simultaneously and list these sites across the top of the screen with separate tabs. So you may begin viewing the first site while the remaining sites load, and then switch from site to site by simply clicking on each individual tab. This has been Daryl's Guide for New Mac Geeks. Be sure to check us out again next time right here on the MacCast.
All right, pretty cool. Thanks, Daryl. That is a really great way. If you have a number of websites that you visit on a daily basis, it's a great way to just fire up Safari and start up and get right to all the websites, and then you can just tab through them, get all the news and information you need. Great tip. Thanks a lot, Daryl. So I mentioned on the last MacCast that we now have the MacCast forums. If you go to forum.maccast.com, you can go on there and you can leave questions. I'm also going to be posting show updates, answers to questions I get in email, answers to questions that I may ask on the show. So items I might not know the answers to, when I get an email from someone who does know the answer, I'll follow up there. It's becoming a really nice community for the MacCast listeners to interact with each other as well as me. I'm on there. I'll answer questions. And it's also helping to really take some of the load off of me in terms of answering emails and things like that. So if you don't want to send me an email directly, if you post a question up there, I will see it, a question or a comment even. I'll see it and can respond to it on the forum, and other MacCast listeners can also respond, so you might even get a quicker response to your questions. So please visit that. So what I wanted to do is I'm going to occasionally pull items out of the forums to discuss, and one that came up a couple times I noticed and is especially fitting with Tiger coming out soon is a lot of people have questions, especially new users, about what Apple's policy is in terms of upgrading your operating system. Do they have upgrading pricing? What happens if I buy a new Mac now and it doesn't come with Tiger? It comes with Panther installed. Will I get Tiger? So a lot of these types of questions. And so I'm just going to go over sort of what Apple's policies have been historically. You know, you never know what exactly they're going to do, but historically this is how it's gone for OS X upgrades. Each upgrade Apple has done has been a pay for upgrade. There is no upgrade pricing. So each time it was $129. So I think it went Mac OS X, OS 10.2, and then OS 10.3, and each time you had to pay $129, which is really not that expensive for an operating system, and each one of those upgrades was a major upgrade. And again, Tiger is going to be a major upgrade. So I fully expect Tiger to be $129 US in terms of pricing. Now, if you recently purchased a new Macintosh, or you purchased the operating system recently, what Apple historically has done is, if you purchased OS X or a new Mac within 30 days of the release of the new operating system, then you can generally get an upgrade. It's not even really an upgrade. You pay $19.99 US for a copy of the new version of the operating system. And the $19 is basically goes to cover the cost of the CD and I think possibly shipping. I can't remember if that's included or not. But so $20 if you have purchased new Mac within the last 30 days or purchased a copy of the operating system in the last 30 days from the time of the new release. So that's basically what Apple's policies have been. There's no reason not to assume that when Tiger comes out, that's not what they will continue. So hopefully that answers any questions or worries that any of you out there might be having. Okay, last thing I want to talk about tonight is a little MacGeek site of the week, I guess, or the night, whatever we want to call it. Basically a site that I want to recommend to everybody if you've never been there, and I think it's an absolutely fabulous site. That's versiontracker.com. This is the place to go if you are looking for software. So if you're thinking in the back of the mind, wow, I wish I had an application that would do this. Or, man, I wonder if there's a Mac OS X application out there that would do that. The first place I always run to check is versiontracker.com. And you can do this for Mac OS X, Mac OS 8 and 9, PC, if you have a mobile device, a Palm device, or Windows mobile PC device. They also have that software as well. Go there. You basically just search for whatever term you're looking for. So if you were looking for something for managing fonts, say for example, you could type in the word font and it's going to kick back tons of different applications that do things with fonts. And they cover everything from shareware to commercial software to freeware. And what's really nice is they have user ratings, so you can see what the rating is. They have links to the directly to the websites and to directly download the software. So versiontracker.com. It is an invaluable site if you've never been there, and especially if you're a new Mac user. A lot of PC users don't know about Version Tracker, so check that out. I can't recommend it highly enough. It is the one place I go anytime somebody asks me about a piece of software for the Mac, and I don't know about it, and I almost probably 99.9% of the time come up with an answer from Version Tracker. Okay, that's going to be the show for tonight. As always, visit maccast.com for the show notes and full details. You can also leave comments there, although I highly recommend checking out the new forums, forum.maccast.com. That's going to be our community to kind of interact with each other, and I'm going to be using it more and more in terms of sending you guys messages and answering questions, so definitely go there and sign up. You can also send me email, maccast@gmail.com, or you can call the audio hotline, 206-222-2788. That's 20-MECCAST-8. The music I'm going to leave you guys with tonight, I actually need to throw out an apology to whoever sent me this music. Something happened with my Gmail. I'm not really sure. I went through and I was kind of cleaning stuff out, and suddenly I seem to have lost some emails. So I may have accidentally deleted some stuff. I don't know. Luckily, I had already downloaded the MP3 track you sent me. The track is called What If, but it's going to be the mystery track of the night. So if anybody can identify this track, or if the person who sent it to me could, I believe this was his brother's band, and I had a link, you know, he had sent me URLs to link to, and I was going to give you guys all the info. Well, I lost it all in Gmail. But anyway, I think it's a great track. I really enjoyed it. It's called What If, and I'm going to play it for you. And if you know what it is, please let me know. Otherwise, I will see you all next time.
I don't believe in accidents. It makes no sense. Just wouldn't work. Everything must turn out like it should. If you could, you wouldn't change. But what if I'm the only one that understands some other suffering? What if you're the only one that knows some secret code? What if we're the only ones that should be living somewhere sunny? Curing cancer, saving planets, changing the whole world. Keep on talking like a geek, psycho speak, just babbling on. Don't you wonder if your dreams are what they seem before they're gone? What if you're the only one that understands some other sucker? What if I'm the only one that knows some secret code? What if we're the only ones that should be living somewhere sunny? Curing cancer, saving planets, changing the whole world. Hallelujah. Every time a choice is made. Display. What if I'm the only one that understands some other sucker? What if you're the only one that knows some secret code? What if we're the only ones that should be living somewhere sunny? Curing cancer, saving planets, changing the whole world.